Butterflies may be more prominent, but in fact there are many more species of moth in the UK than there are of their brightly coloured cousins. But despite this, moths are facing a tough time, with some species declining dramatically. Dan Hoare is from UK charity Butterfly Conservation.
We've got about 2,500 species of moths in the UK, about 900 larger moths, so-called macro moths, which have English names, and these are some of the familiar things that you might get coming into your house or see in your garden, like the garden tiger, a really conspicuous, brightly coloured species which has the famous woolly bear caterpillars that you see in your garden. That's declined hugely, and studies over the last 30 years of really regular trapping of moths have shown that many, many common and widespread species aren't declining rapidly. So they're still found right through the country, they might still be found in most people's gardens, but they're much less numerous than they used to be. And that's an indication of something really profound that's happening in the countryside and in the country in general. And we use them as an indicator of what might be happening to a whole range of other less well-recognised insects, for example.
And what is it that's causing this decline in moth numbers?
Well, it's a whole suite of issues, many to do with large-scale practices in agriculture and forestry. These are kind of big economic changes to what's economic for people to do, how we manage the land. And these declines just show that we have to be careful, because there are sometimes unseen consequences to it. So there are perhaps 70 common and widespread species of moths that would qualify as UCN red listed species because they're declining so rapidly.
And what exactly is the difference between a butterfly and a moth anyway?
There are some really kind of very technical differences in anatomy that, for example, a curator of a museum would use to distinguish the two. In practical terms, there's not much difference. They're very closely related and all the same issues apply. Their life cycles are very similar. But there are some obvious kind of generalisms that people can use. So most moths are nocturnal, although there are quite a large number of day-flying ones. People tend to think that moths are dull and brown, whereas butterflies are very colourful. And that's simply not true. There are very many very brightly coloured moths, many that are fantastically cryptically camouflaged to look like leaves or tree bark. And there's really a huge diversity of them. It's just that people don't see them because most of them come out at night, or when they're in your garden by day, they're hiding to get away from bird predators and things like that.
And what kind of role do they play in our ecosystem?
Well, moths are a really crucial part of our ecosystem. They get a bad press. Sometimes people think of moths as either eating some of the plants in their garden or coming in and clothes moths eating clothes in your house. And there are probably 4 or 5 species out of that 2,500 species that have evolved to feed on birds' nests and animal wool and things like that. And they will come in and eat your clothes. So you need to take care of those, hopefully using kind of environmentally friendly protection nowadays. But there's a whole range of other species that are really important in the environment, particularly at the caterpillar stage. So overwhelmingly, most of the common bird species we see in our gardens, things that people treasure like blue tits, great tits, robins and blackbirds, song thrushes, they depend hugely on a big flush of moth caterpillars in the spring to feed their young. It's been estimated that blue tits in the UK eat something like 3 billion moth caterpillars every year to feed their young. And in fact, the breeding cycle of many of our common garden birds actually has evolved to coincide with the big flush of moth caterpillars. So if you remove those species from the ecosystem, it has really profound knock-on effects for other species, especially for predators higher up the food chain like birds and bats.
And we talk about moths eating things. Is it the moth themselves eating it? Is it really the caterpillar that's doing the problem?
It's always the caterpillars, usually. For both butterflies and moths, they have a complex life cycle where the adult lays an egg. The egg hatches out into a caterpillar. The caterpillar molts through several stages where it gets bigger between each stage. And then it goes into a pupa to make the transformation from caterpillar to adult. And most adults, both moths and butterflies, all they really need to feed on is a little bit of liquid sugar. They'll go and get liquid sugar either from nectar in flowers, typically, or they might take honeydew from the tops of leaves in big trees. And some famous butterflies like the purple emperor will do that, for example. They don't come to flowers very readily, but they take aphid honeydew from the tops of trees, which again is liquid sugar. They also take protein in the form of pollen from plants, and they use that protein to produce their eggs. So that's really all the adults are eating, and it's what the caterpillars are eating that's really crucial as to determine their life cycle. So, for example, a butterfly like the holly blue, it has 2 broods a year. 1 brood feeds on holly and 1 brood feeds on ivy. So providing those 2 plant species in your garden will allow the holly blue to not just come and visit flowers, but actually breed its whole life cycle in your garden.
That's Dan Hoare from Butterfly Conservation.
Interviews from Passion for the Planet.
Copyright Passion for the Planet.
Listen to more interviews online.
Hear health, environment, lifestyle, personal growth and business experts when it suits you. This service is free. Register now at passionfortheplanet.com.
Find out more at passionfortheplanet.com.